Let's delve beyond the headlines now with Peter Dykstra of the DailyClimate.org and Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org. He's on the line now from Conyers, Georgia. How's it going, Peter?
Hi, Steve. You know, the Detroit Auto Show happens every January, and it's kind of a place for big dreams. But this year, there was a really big dream that got deflated.
Oh, what was that?
Well, back in the 2008 presidential campaign, candidate Barack Obama set a goal of 1 million electric vehicles on U.S. roads by 2015. They sort of walked that goal back in 2013, and then this year it went completely flat.
Did you buy one?
No, I didn't buy one, and less than half the people to meet that million car goal bought them either. There are only 400,000 in the road as of 2015.
Well, you didn't buy one, I didn't buy one. What went wrong?
Well, several things. Battery technology in electric vehicles is not as far along as some people hoped. The cost for those batteries and for the cars are too high. And of course, we've got those low, low gas prices. When Obama made that promise as a candidate back in 2008, gas prices were $4 a gallon. Now they're less than half that.
Yeah, you're right. I can get it for $1.59 in my neighborhood. Hey, what else do you have for us today?
Well, let's call this next one CSI Environment. There are some fun developments in tracking pollution and environmental crime from satellites.
The big tree hugger is watching you.
Well, not so much a big tree hugger. It's a little nonprofit called Sky Truth. They're leading the way and teaming with some big outfits like Google and others with satellite data and images to track fracking sites, oil spills, illegal logging, illegal mining, water theft, and particularly illegal fishing in our oceans.
So what are the big callers these eco-cops have made?
I've had a few. The SkyTruth folks set out scouring publicly available images for oil spills and other accidents. Back in 2009, they found a huge spill off Australia. Then they helped reveal the next year how big the Deepwater Horizon oil spill was in the Gulf of Mexico.
That's a pretty good pinch.
Well, last year, they helped the government of Palau apprehend several fishing boats operating in protected waters.
And that's a pretty big ocean out there.
Yeah, until recently, Palau had only one boat to patrol an ocean area the size of Texas. You can imagine Texas only having one police car. That eye in the sky is welcome help for a place like Palau. Remember, we're talking about a small, tiny nonprofit and the tiny island nation leading the way on this. If larger countries, maybe even the ones that are doing the illegal logging or fishing, get involved, it's a potential game changer.
So what do you have for us today from history?
It's one of those obscure international treaties turning 45 years old this week, the Ramsar Convention on Wetlands. It's named that because it was adopted in Ramsar, Iran in 1971. It helps nations identify and protect their vital wetlands. There are over 2,000 wetlands listed in Ramsar for their ecological and commercial value in 169 nations that have signed on.
So what kind of teeth does this deal have?
Well, there's almost no such thing as an ironclad international environmental agreement, but Ramsar gives some leverage in protecting places in the U.S. like the Chesapeake Bay and Delaware Bay, or floodplains and freshwater wetlands in the upper Mississippi. Internationally, you've got places like Vietnam's Mekong Delta or the Okavango in southern Africa. The threats to wetlands are still huge, but even wetlands need street cred, and the Ramsar Convention helps, so happy 45th birthday.
All right. Now, Peter Dykstra is with Environmental Health News. That's EHN.org and TheDailyClimate.org. Thanks, Peter. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, Steve. Thanks a lot. We'll talk to you soon.
And there's more on these stories at LOE.org.